our assignment.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm going to try one more thing, Sherry. Can you? I'm going to just see if you can hear me now. Hang on. Here's our assignment. Notice how much
Perfect.
Of the a conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions, RL what you see. Example, voices. Why can't he keep the proper 6 feet distance? He's jeopardizing all our safety and his. Belief, rules keep all of us safe and chaos at bay. Chaos is dangerous. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, well, let's try our next caller. Here we go.
Our next.
Next caller, you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
So I think what I'm picking to look at is the way that I have the tendency to not follow rules. It's not obvious, and it's not in a way that would, hurt anybody or any way that I can see. And then the example was, why aren't people following the rules? And good people follow rules. And there's a way that, that's just bringing, I think, an element of self-hate into it, in that, if I don't, and I know that I'm not following the rule, then I'm a bad person, and that can, bring self-hate into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, Christine, can you give a little example of that? Because the example that is in the class feels mm-hmm. like the kind of thing that we learned in childhood, okay, that rules are necessary and you have to follow them, and if you do, you're a good person. If you don't, you're bad. You get rewarded for being a good little girl and punished if you're bad, which feels very different from what we're doing here with awareness practice, which is living in the present and letting life guide us.
Yeah. So you're saying it could be that people can be guided in a way that isn't necessarily the big rule that everybody's supposed to be following. So maybe, for example, we're in line and, people aren't, it's hard to make it happen.
They're not dancing.
But maybe they're not paying the attention. And why is the line, the line is supposed to go this way. But, what just popped into my mind right now
May I? Okay, so I used to, before our current situation, spending a lot of time driving in uninhabited areas.
Uh-huh.
And I would sometimes be driving late at night in uninhabited areas, and I would be at a stoplight. And there would not be another car around for miles. Do I sit there and wait for that light, or do I go? Am I a bad person if I go through it? Is that kind of where you're headed?
Yeah, maybe, because if I'm scared, I'm alone at night, nobody's around, and I just creep through a light, it's just no big deal at all to me. Like, mm-hmm. like I wouldn't
I wouldn't wait. I mean, I guess it depends. If I'm not, if I'm just like, oh, this is interesting, I'm just going to sit here for a while. It just depends. Yeah.
So what you said initially to me feels like the important place that you're looking at. Are you aware of what you're doing such that you are guided to know, is this harmful or is this not harmful?
Or
as compared to unconsciously either following the rules and being really upset if people don't, or I'm a rebel, I don't follow rules, and I'm completely unconscious as to the effect that I'm having on everyone else.
Oh, yeah, so I think I do the first one, but then conditioning beats me up for not doing the right thing, I guess.
Yeah, so that's the place where you're seeing conditioning, ego controlling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be the place to explore going forward. Right? Where is this coming from? Where is this action coming from?
Yeah.
And what happens as a result of it? What do I believe? What do I assume? What's being projected onto me? What's being projected onto others?
Yeah. Okay.
Very exciting. All right. Good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Very much.
Yeah.
Go happy. Thanks.
Go happy.
What fascinates me about that conversation, Sherry, is that we get to explore it. Right?
Yes.
That I actually don't know, let me bring this up, because it's a place in which I don't have clarity. And as you pointed out, an absence of clarity is the clue to actually look at it and go, well, what is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this? Is it that? And then that final place of, I never know whether it's coming from life or coming from conditioned mind, which is sort of a place of inquiry I always want to be in. Because if I take it on content level, I mean, I love what Christine said. Well, it depends on where I am, what's going on for me at late at night and whether I'm scared or not. Because in every moment, we don't know. We can't just say, you know, if it's late at night and I come up on a stoplight and there's nobody around, I usually take it and that's all right, right? You don't know until you reach that moment what life might be guiding you to do, and you'll find out.
Yes, well, and that's the what we're doing in awareness practice, right? Well, I'll see. I'm going to stay right here with my eyes wide open, and I'm going to see what happens, and I'll learn something.
Right.
It's not about making a mistake or doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. And there's that place which you point out so often, the story that you tell about your car and the oil in it, and how something dropping in to check out the oil and whether there's something wrong with it or not, to follow that prompt simply as a training process.
That's right. Because what am I doing instead? And if it's ego got me to pull over to the side of the road and check the oil, okay. All right. I'm not going to fall for learn not to do that and blow up my car. I'm not interested. Thank you.
Blow you up. Right? Because ultimately that's where ego gets us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill. What are you seeing?
Well, I just love that last bit. And, I always have that experience where ego and life sometimes seem so intertwined that you just kind of have to go with your do your best, as they say.
Do your best. Yeah. Yes.
But I am looking at control around information, which I just can't, I mean, on the prompt to write out what you're seeing in the next 24 hours, I mean, I think I wrote 3 pages worth of like things that I was seeing about it. So it's a very rich topic for me and a very, very rich inquiry. And yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that the beliefs are all about how, you know, bad information is very dangerous and, you know, I have to be on the defensive, especially if there's somebody who has a past of giving me bad information. I have to just be, you know, having incorrect info out there. I have to correct it immediately. And, you know, and it just has all sorts of little, like, I guess, tributaries from there about just, you know, misinterpreting information puts me at a disadvantage and, you know, whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, and it's really good to see in the way that we've been talking about it with how you're controlled, right? Mm-hmm. Because clearly it puts you in a ego would like to have you in this place where you need to be constantly looking to it to make sure you stay safe.
Yep. Oh, it's got the program. Yeah. I mean, my awareness is completely collapsed. And what is so, why this has been such a rich experience too, is it happens to me in work meetings all the time. And I have, you know, 3 to 4 work meetings and I just sit there with a piece of paper and like write down everything. And it just completely constricts me. It collapses my awareness. It just puts my attention. It seems like it just locks my attention on them.
Because these people are dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. We would think of them as your coworkers, right? But they're dangerous. They are a threat to your survival. So, I mean, you know, in the wild, you would be hunkered down in a corner somewhere where none of them can get behind you and sneak up on you, and you can watch them all the time. Right, which sounds nuts until we begin to explore it the way you're exploring it. That, I don't act that way, but that's what's going on inside.
Yeah, and I even in this little exploration I've done so far, I mean, my experience with my coworkers is completely changing. You know, it's like I can just feel it already kind of lifting and just to drop. To break, now I'm much more aware of it, and so just the times I've been able to break that, I mean, just writing it down breaks it, and all this putting attention on it breaks it, and I can just start to, it's such a relief.
And good to me, it's always comforting to realize that nobody likes the person who is always the smartest person in the room. Right? Nobody likes the person who always has the right answer or always knows more than, right? It's just, egos just go nuts with trying to get that person. And then the person who's trapped behind that, you know, feeling unappreciated and unseen or put down or less than or whatever is going on. So the whole, you know, it just traps all of us in those awful imaginary relationships.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's so key, the imaginary relationship. And as you were describing that, I was reminded of the original assignment and the reading, and I used the word chaotic in somewhere. And I can just see that in a meeting when a piece of information starts being passed around that I know is not exactly right, and just how, there's somebody here who feels that's just like panicking, and how I can attend to that instead of doing what you're describing, which, you know, thankfully it's not my, my 100% response, but, you know, to just that push, that urgency to correct it, and instead just look to the person who's here, who's having that experience, and, you know, just working.
Put on her mask first.
Yeah.
Right? Put on her mask first, and then see if anybody else needs assistance. Yeah,
and then there's just more openings, too, you know. It's not, you know, I mean, there may be an opening in the conversation where that's, it's appropriate for me to put that out there.
Yes, because it's not a contest, right? You're all on the same team.
Yeah. Great.
So good.
Thank you so much,
all
Sherry.
Right. Thank you, Jill.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Jill. Oh, gosh, there was so much in that conversation because I so related.
Mm.
Must be a five thing.
I was thinking that all sounded kind of familiar to you and Jill and,
mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
and
I,
a few other people we could name.
Yeah, I appreciate that that the recognition of the imagined experience, which feels so real, and to recognize that, right? That's what's going on for me. I can't actually be here because for everyone else, it's a meeting. For me, it's survival. And so that is why we do this, right? To understand the messages that we're getting, that the real experience in that imagined place is so, so the sensations are so intense that sometimes I actually cannot be here. That's
being
exerted over me.
Yeah, and of course, if we stick with Jill's image there, you know, there are all the people in the room. We're all intuitive, even though we think of ourselves as perhaps complete clods, at least some of the time. So everybody knows there's some strange energy that has managed its way into this room, but nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
So the level of anxiety for everybody goes up, right? And so the person, and that's happening with all of us all the time, right? We really, really believe that whatever story we're caught in, whatever the karma is in us, is real and true, and this is happening, and we're always surviving, right? Mm-hmm. Ego is always trying to survive some imaginary circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just seeing it is what breaks me out of the terror.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Our next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here. Can you hear me?
Hello,
Colin.
Colin. Yes, perfectly, perfectly. What are you seeing?
I'm looking at being controlled around food, and there's a ego's telling me that I've already looked at this and I can't look at it again. You know, get over it. I should have.
You may have to eat several times a day, but this is a closed subject. You've already brought awareness to that, Colin. That's enough.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and. You know, obviously there's a bit of a sort of a food situation going on at the moment about a concern about getting food, really, I suppose, or making sure there's enough food. So it's quite at the front of my consciousness at the moment that I'm really referring to ego to keep me safe about the issue. I think that's really what I'm seeing, that I still need to look to anxiety and worry as a way of making sure I'm okay about it, really. Really, it's sort of impacting on my health because I'm making some unhealthy food choices now because of that. And really, is that, you know, you're talking earlier about rules, and that if there was just this set of rules, and if I follow these rules, then I'll sort of be all right, and I can rebel against them, but there's these ego rules about what I should and shouldn't do, and mm-hmm. Following them will keep me safe.
And Colin, is it the case that you can see that you get talked into and then chastised for? You get you're anxious. Right, you're living in a story that there isn't going to be enough food, and so you better get food, and probably some encouragement to get the food that's not exactly good for you, and then you've broken the rule. Now that you've been talked into that, you've broken the rule, and now you need to be talked to because that's not an okay way to be.
Yes, absolutely. So there's the punishment there, and so it's like ego goading me into the behaviour, and then afterwards, feeling bad about it. But it's sort of just playing out in a sort of a different scenario, really, like buying foodstuffs, that store covered items or something that perhaps aren't entirely healthy, and alright, so I've got all those and now I'll be safe, and then eating them, and then ego's coming in and say, well, you shouldn't be eating shouldn't have bought those. So it's the same old process playing out again.
It is, and the fascinating piece of it is that at least to me, and I hope to you, this actually is as close as ego usually gets for most of us to a legitimate life and death issue, right? I mean, people are really worried around the world that there, and of course, a lot of people have already run out of food, right? So that, but those of us who are not used to having this as an issue are starting to hear the anxiety voices of ego talking us into, you could run out of food. That could happen, right? Now, it's always been doing the same process to us, but the and we've been tempted to believe it's life and death, even though when we step back from it, we realize, wait a minute, it is not life and death if I don't get invited to that party, or if I don't get that promotion at work, or if I, whatever it is, right? That's not actually life and death, but here it's got one. No, this is really true.
That's right. Yes, like it's really got me, and it's sort of just playing out. There's all these dramatic scenarios that I might I don't know. So is this thing about going out to the shops, because I might come into contact with somebody and catch the virus, and I might die. You know, so it makes it really kind of like real.
But it's using the same old playbook, right, that it's always used, right? Something bad is going to happen. You need to do this, 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 and this out of that anxiety. Oh, my God, you did that, and that? Oh, my God, what is the matter with you? Okay, what you need to do is, and it just, you know, it just pulls us back and forth between the two sides of that duality. You've got to, oh, my God, you did?
Yes, that's it, exactly. And then it just seems there's some fresh context comes up every little while, and then it all starts off again, and I'm back, back into some other concern about concern about food for in a slightly different scenario.
This is very good, isn't it, to look at it for this month. And because it is such a specific anxiety, fear-producing content, and to be able to see so clearly how ego uses life circumstances to control us. You're going to get to look at that every day, because you've got to eat every day.
Every day, yeah, yes, no. So it's really helpful to have that for the month. So really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Take care of yourself. Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks, Colin.
Okay, it looks like we have time for one more caller. So
hang on, Ashwini. I cannot hear you. You are very soft.
if I can get you.
Up the volume.
I'm going to bring on the next caller.
There you are. Oh, there you are.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hello, Jodine. What are you seeing?
Well, I picked something really charged for me, and I'm already having fun by day three, so these exercises just, like, don't get old.
No, they don't.
No.
They do not.
They're very durable.
They are our life. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So one belief I got to was, and I'm looking at when I project that my husband is trying to control my behavior in our day-to-day life. So one of the beliefs I got to is bad behavior in others justifies my behaving badly.
Oh, absolutely, Jodine.
Yes,
absolutely.
Because I'm a saint compared
and
to him.
That's exactly right. I mean, you may not be perfect, okay, but compared to him,
yes.
Oh, my God, you have this content nailed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how often we can find ourselves in that on any given day.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like a knee jerk, you know, like somebody, you know, flips you the finger on the road or something. number two, I must answer or defend myself if someone provokes my conditioning.
Absolutely. That was wrong of him. He needs to pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and understand, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Understand why he's so wrong.
Correct him.
Right.
Yeah, correct him so that he will learn not to do that again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
we can all see our childhood in this.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Then I got two conflicting beliefs. Somebody says there's a right way to do everything, and someone else says there are multiple valid ways to accomplish anything.
Ooh, there's a fun team.
Yep. And,
so however it's going, it could go a different, better way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Yeah, yep. You can just pick whichever one kind of works mm-hmm. in the situation. And mm-hmm. then finally, it is deeply wrong to insist someone adhere to your condition. It is deeply wrong to insist someone adhere to your conditioning all the time.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's your husband.
Well, no, it's... No, that's what he seems to be doing to me. He seems to be...
Yes,
forcing me, insisting that I adhere to his conditioning, which is deeply wrong.
And you want him to adhere to yours.
Right, he should come over...
That's right. He should see that he's wrong, and he should adhere to your conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's so good, Jodine, because, you just laid it out absolutely perfectly with how projection serves ego, right? We lose sight of the fact in that drama. Now, I don't know how much you lose sight of it, but just the way you laid it up, is great to see that I get caught up in whatever element this is. I really believe whatever that is. And I completely lose sight of the fact that this is not coming from authentic being. This is a conditioned orientation to life, right? I'm right. It's true. It's real. I could get all my friends and relations to agree that he is just a controlling jerk most of the time.
Yep.
And in that we lose sight of the fact that, wait a minute, I'm projecting this whole thing.
And it leads to suffering. That's all that happens, right?
He's in the house. You know, Colin can put on his mask and go to the store and interact with strangers who might be a threat, or Jill in her meeting. Right?
yes.
But you've got this, you've got the enemy in the house with you.
Right.
Yeah. So the suffering, the potential for suffering is just enormous, which, of course, as we're fond of pointing out, is exactly what ego is going for. I don't know if you have time. Of course, you have time for this. We're in a pandemic. It might be a fun time to revisit the Screwtape letters.
I just gave
thing.
It away.
I'll have to get another copy. I'll quickly tell you the story so you don't have to read the whole thing again. Okay? It's the mother and the son who share a house. And they begin to find one another's little habits just intolerably annoying and conclude that it's being done just to
capture me.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That is very, very helpful.
Okay. So onward we go. Thanks a lot.
Onward we go. Going happily.
Thanks, Jodine. You know, Sherry, it's so important to do what Jodine just did, which is to lay it out so clearly.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it's so helpful to see the specific.
Do the exercise.
Yes, at that level of clarity. I mean, it's the only way I know I'm in it is if I can recognize how I'm in it. Yeah.
Ashwini, it's like go ahead.
Well, it's the only way I can actually work with an individual belief.
Yes.
That I can practice with it and unravel it and really, really build the muscle that the message behind that never gets triggered.
Yeah.
In my practice.
Really see through it. Put fade to it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And what it reminds me of is the reason that I think you, but I don't know who, came up with the two-handed recording. Because what we recognized in recording and listening is that people got to the point in awareness practice that something would be going on with them. They'd start to record about it. They hear a voice in their head tell them that, oh, well, you know that, you've seen that, that's blah, 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 blah. And that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
Failing to recognize that that process into the egocentric karmic condition.
So, Sherry, I'm finding it hard to hear you. You're blipping out a little bit.
Oh, well.
I heard you say that that's the power of the two-handed recording exercise, because what we were getting to in recording and listening was rapid disidentification rather and abandoning that person, first of all, but also not an ability to explore the process.
That's right. Disidentification into ego, who had all the answers.
Yeah, or has judgment.
Yeah, well, answers would be in quotes. Yeah, yeah. But what you're pointing out with Jodine, when we go through step by step by step by step, we really increase our chances of seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's magical, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show, and here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or a characteristic. RL, what you see. Examples. Afraid. I feel so exposed, so completely at the mercy of other people's unconsciousness. Is it really safe to go out? What if I get sick because some idiot won't wash her hands? I can't say anything to him. He may get angry. Monitor. Keep your distance. Remember, 6 feet is what's recommended. Why is he not wearing his mask? I can't believe the store is not taking more precautions. Virtuous. It's what good people do. Follow rules. Compliant. Ours is not to question why. We don't seem to realize that we can't be trusted. That's why we have rules. Frustrated. I can't stand it. Why can't she just do what she's told? I hate her.
That is not getting to the place of clarity that we were hoping for. Right? This is wrong. I hate her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But breaking it down that way, that's gonna show us all the steps in the process. So that's very good.
If nothing.
All right.
That poor soul caught in that torture chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Take care. Gotcha.